Revelation chapter 6 in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 6, as we begin, this will be the 19th message in the book of Revelation. And the Lord willing, we'll start at verse number 7 this morning and go until we run out of time like we always do. So, Revelation chapter number 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" Our thoughts this morning, I don't know for sure what page that is. What page is that in your notes? Verse number 7? Page 54 of your notes. My notes are a little different, and I don't have the page numbers. And I usually, before I come in the mornings, I write the page number at the bottom where we're starting, and I didn't do that this morning. So the tribulation has started on earth. The church is in heaven. We saw the rapture in chapter 4 and verse 1. There was a time period, chapters 4 and 5. Many things went on in heaven. Chapter 6, the tribulation judgments began. We saw the first, the second, and the third seal open, and each one of them brought a new, dreadful judgment on the earth. As we continue that in verse number 7, the fourth seal is opened, and it's announced by the fourth beast that said, "Come and see." Now remember, the four beasts that announced the first four seals are the same beasts that we saw in chapter number 4, the seraphim that are around the throne of God. And they're now announcing these judgments as they're unsealed upon the earth. Now remember, these judgments that we're seeing, these judgment seals as they're opened, this is that seven seal book, that scroll that the Lord Jesus Christ took out of the hand of God the Father on the throne. And as He opens each of those seals of that book, we have presented to us each of the judgments that are here in chapter number 6. The tribulation period has indeed started. It will only get worse. It'll never lessen. It'll never get better. There'll never be any relief for men on the earth. The judgments will simply continue to build one upon another, and the severity as you progress through the seven-year tribulation period will only increase with each judgment that's unleashed upon the earth. We'll say more about that as we go along. In verse number 8, we see the pale horse. The pale horse is greenish, yellow, the color of death. It looks livid and corpse-like. I would like for you to correct a mistake there under verses 7 and 8 in your notes. It says the horse, if. That's supposed to be the word is there. So if you'd make that correction in your notes. The word if should be the word is. The horse is greenish yellow, the color of death. The angelic rider, now remember, Our interpretation here is that each of these riders on each of these first four horses is an angelic being. If it's not an angelic being, then I would consider these my second choice. I'm persuaded in my mind these are angelic beings, but if I were to have to choose a second choice, if you will, then I would say that these are simply personifications, that they're not real beings at all, but they're personifications. If they're not angels and they're not personifications, then they have to be real people. They have to be men. So you got three choices there. You can choose whichever one you want on that. But it really, remember, as we've stated before, the horses or the riders are not the important thing here, or the most important thing. The most important thing is the judgment that's coming upon the earth. Now, the rider on this horse is given the name of Death. The Bible says, the name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Death applies to the body, hell applies to the soul. While death is reaping, hell is receiving them. Notice in your Bible in verse number 8, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Folks, them is a reference to the first four seals in combination. In the first four seal judgments, one-fourth of the world's population is going to die. Now, based on today's population, that's going to be somewhere between 1 billion and 2 billion people that are going to die. In the first four seals, the tribulation period has just barely begun, and already we see that one-fourth of the world's population has been killed. They're killed, the Bible says here, it says, and power is given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death. Of course, the sword is warfare, hunger is famine, death carries the idea of pestilence, and by the wild beast. Now, folks, think with me, if you will, for just a moment about that phrase, that last phrase, and with the beast of the earth. There are some very good Bible commentators that would teach that the beast are actually referring to people here, referring to those various military leaders that are using their position to wreak havoc and death on the people that are around them. And that's not an invalid interpretation. There is some merit to that thought. It must be realized that the word beast is used many, many times throughout the book of Revelation. The word beast is used to refer, of course, to the man that we normally think of as the Antichrist. He's referred to as the beast. Well, especially after the midpoint of the tribulation period, the Antichrist becomes the beast, if you will, and is referred to as such throughout the book of Revelation. The word beast is indeed used in the book of Revelation to refer to men in many instances. However, in this instance, I believe that it's actually referring to beast or to animals. I believe that one of the judgments of this fourth seal is that the animals are going to become vicious and they're going to be part of that which brings death and destruction to mankind, and a fourth of the world's population is going to be killed. Now, it's not unheard of in the Word of God that beasts are affected by demonic activity. You remember the situation where the Lord Jesus Christ cast the legion of demons out of the individual, and they went into the swine, into the pigs, and the pigs, the Bible says, ran violently down the hill and into the water, and they drowned themselves. So we know that there are situations to where demonic activity can have an effect on animals. Now, folks, get the scene here. The church has been raptured. The Spirit of God has withdrawn to a great degree His restraining ministry over evil. Satan has free course now. Demons have free course. They can do now what they've never been allowed to do before. You see, not only will these demons affect men, we saw previously in the judgments how that race wars and ethnic cleansings and violence that's unknown in world history is going to break out on all the earth. I believe that same demonic activity is going to affect the animal life as well. I believe that animals that would normally not want to, would not normally attack a person, will now attack in an unprovoked way. I believe the snake would bite, but normally it would just lay there and not let you come and go by. I believe a spider would bite when normally they might not. I believe in areas where there are large beasts, I believe that they will attack. I believe that all the animal kingdom is going to be affected by the demonic activity that is going to be at work on the earth during this time. And I believe that the beast that's being referred to here is indeed animals. Some Bible commentators would even tell us and remind us that in years past, animals have been the result or the cause of unimaginable loss of human life. In the Middle Ages, the 14th century Europe, rats spread the bubonic plague. I'm told that some 1/4 to 1/3 of the population of Europe died during that outbreak of plague that was caused by rats. There's actually some Bible commentators that believe, I'm talking about good men, knowledgeable men, that believe that the beast of the earth and the death that's being referred to here is that sort of thing where something like rodents or some other kind of animals will actually bring plagues that result in great loss of human life. I believe it's a combination of all those things, folks. I believe that God is going to unleash, and He is unleashing that which has never been seen before. And folks, when the first four seals are over, when the first four seals are over, 1/4 of the world's population will be dead. A lot of things are going on now. A lot of things are going on, very briefly. The rapture has taken place and the seal judgments have begun to be unleashed on the earth. The Antichrist is building his world power. He's beginning to fight. He's on the scene now. He had signed a peace covenant, but there is no peace. He's trying to consolidate his power, and great warfare is being involved in that. That's part of this human life loss that's going on during this time. Judgments are being unleashed on the earth. On the salvation front, God's working. Immediately upon the rapture of the church, God is going to seal two special witnesses. We'll look at those later on. And they begin to witness, and they witness for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's going on right now while all of this death and destruction is raining down. You've got two special witnesses that are witnessing with great power from God. As a result of their witness, we begin to have the salvation of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They're being saved, I believe, by the witness of the two special witnesses. I believe they're being saved by those silent witnesses that are left behind after the rapture of the church. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, what are you talking about there? Well, you know what? There's going to be a lot of Bibles left after even though the church-age saints are going to be gone. Bibles are going to be left, and gospel tracts are going to be left, and gospel literature is going to be left. And I believe those things will result in the salvation of those 144,000. They'll be saved and sealed, and they're going to witness all the way through the tribulation period, all 7 years of it. None of them will die, not one of them. They'll enter in the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies. At the same time all this is going on, Israel is building the temple. Israel's building their temple, rebuilding their temple. At the same time all this is going on, the Antichrist is rebuilding the city of Babylon. At the same time that all this is going on, the harlot church is trying her very best to kill every person that stands for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there's going to be a multitude saved during the tribulation period, and the vast majority of those are going to pay with their life. And in the first 3.5 years, most of the death that comes to the children of God, to those that trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, is going to be at the hands of a false religious system that's going to do her best to kill every person that truly names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see her later on drunken, the Bible says, with the blood of the saints. The tribulation period has started in earnest. The devastation and the death is something that the world has never beheld. And folks, all it's going to do is get worse. Now let me address this matter of continuation. Some of the judgments of the tribulation have specific time periods that are associated with them. Examples of that would be the demonic locus of the fifth trumpet and the angelic demonic army of the sixth trumpet. Some of those judgments of the tribulation period will have specific times associated with them. In other words, they're going to start at a certain time, they'll continue for a set amount of time, and then they're going to end. Folks, some of them never end. And that's the case with the first four seals. There's a continuation. The first four seals are unsealed, and you have the war and the death and the famine and the pestilence and all the things that have been introduced in these first four seals. And folks, these things are never going to end for the whole 7 years. They will continue on the conditions that are started with the unsealing of these seals, will continue through the tribulation period. And that's the reason the tribulation period will become more and more severe, because what has started will continue. And on top of that will be these other judgments that will begin. The severity will increase with the movement of time during the tribulation period. Verse number 9. And when it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Now listen to what it says now. Stay with me. It was said that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The fifth seal is opened. The fifth seal is opened. And we see here a great multitude that has been saved. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. Here's a great multitude under the fifth seal that are saved in the first half of the tribulation period. We're going to see another multitude later on. This multitude that's saved is saved in the first half of the tribulation period. We know that others are going to be saved because it says they were to rest for a little while until those other of their fellow servants and brethren that were should be killed as they are were killed. There's going to be others killed. We know that these were killed early on in the tribulation period. Their souls are seen around the altar in heaven. They have trusted Christ after the rapture. They have given their life, most of these, at the hands of the harlot church. And they're seen in heaven. We see here the Jewish imprecatory prayer for judgment. You might want to look at Psalm 74, 9 and 10, Psalm 79, 5, 89, 46, 94, and verse 4, and on we could go. That's where they're crying and say, Oh Lord, how long? How long, Lord? You see it many times throughout history, folks. It seems like the people of God were on the losing side. Humanly speaking. The world even thought that when they were putting Christians in the arena and turning the wild beast loose on them, and the beast would rush in and tear their bodies to pieces. The world thought that they were killing them. The world thought that they were losing. And the cry of the people of God is, Oh Lord, how long? How long, Lord, before you work? And God responds to that and He says, You know, it's not going to be long now. There's going to be some more of you that are going to give your life, but it won't be long, and I'm going to work. Now, in verse number 10, we see that they were slain by those that are still alive on the earth. Look at the latter part of the verse. And avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth. Those that had killed these people were those that were still alive on the earth. They were given white robes, the Bible says, in this intermediate state until they get their glorified bodies in chapter number 20. I believe that this same portion of Scripture here, the fifth seal, is what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself spoke of in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 9. You might want to write that down and look at it later. Now, what's the judgment of this seal? Folks, have you ever thought about it? Have you read this? Have you read this fifth seal? Now remember, judgments are being poured out on the earth. I ran into a little problem here, though. When I get to the fifth seal, I begin to think about that, and I begin to ask myself, what is the judgment of the fifth seal? Now let me tell you what the judgment's not. The judgment is not the death of the saints. Folks, that's not God's purpose right here. God's purpose in the tribulation period is not to kill people that trust the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what the judgment is, even though that's what we're seeing primarily. What is the judgment then? If the judgment is not the death of the saints that we see here, what's the judgment of the fifth seal? Now here's what I believe it is. I believe that the judgment of this seal is the wrath of God on all the godless because of the prayer of the slain saints that we saw here. They prayed and they said, "Lord, O Lord, how long dost thou not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now folks, my proof for that is coming up now in the sixth seal. You see, I believe the judgment of the fifth seal is revealed to us in the statement of the sixth seal. The severity jumps. Now, could you get this in your mind? The first four seals represent the worst time the world has ever seen. A fourth of the world's population is killed. This will shock some of you. I believe that all that took place in less than a year's time. I believe the first four seals takes place in less than a year's time. A fourth of the world's population has been killed. We saw the saints that have been slain in the fifth seal. When the sixth seal is opened up, the severity jumps from down here, which is the worst time the world's ever seen. It jumps to way up here because God is going to answer the prayer of the saints in the fifth seal. Look in your Bible, the sixth seal. "And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of the wind." The sixth seal, if you look at your notes, the sixth seal is early in the tribulation period. You notice that I put there, perhaps even in the first year, the middle of the tribulation period is going to be the sixth trumpet, which is in chapter 9. Now, I'll be saying a lot more about this as we go on. In the sixth seal, there's going to be a great earthquake. By the way, that's the first of three great earthquakes we see in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6, in Revelation chapter 11, and in Revelation chapter 16, we see what the Bible calls great earthquakes. Here's the first of the great earthquakes that are given to us in the book of Revelation. Now, there's many other earthquakes that are given. At the end of your notes, we're not going to look at it today, but later on we will. I've got a section in there on all the different convulsions of nature, if you will, that are going to take place during the tribulation period, and we'll look at that later on. But I believe that this earthquake, and folks, you're going to have to stay with me. I'm going to try to tie all this together as quickly as I can. We're going to be on this a couple of weeks probably, but I want you to stay with me. I believe that this earthquake in the sixth seal, this great earthquake, is probably the earthquake that destroys all but one-sixth of the armies of the north in the battle of Gog and Magog. We read about Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I'm introducing something to you now that we're going to pursue as we go on. If this earthquake in the sixth seal is not the earthquake that destroys Gog and Magog, then there's another earthquake even earlier on than this one that has a lot of supernatural things associated with it. It's more than just a great earthquake. It's something that is supernatural that's associated with it. Now, this seal or this time in verse number 12 reminds us of the prophecies of Joel chapter 2 verses 30 and 31 and Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 15. You might also want to compare, these are in your notes and I don't have time to turn to it right now because of time, but you might also compare verse 14 to Isaiah chapter 34 and verse number 4. Now, six great events are associated with this seal judgment. Six great events. In verse number 12, there's a great earthquake. In verse number 12, the Bible says that the sun becomes darkened so that it becomes black as sackcloth. I want you to notice the words there that introduce symbolism. It says, and the sun became black. Now, notice the word as. The word as is one of the words that introduces symbolism. Sackcloth was a rough fabric that was made. If I could associate it with something that we would understand today, it'd be like burlap. It was a rough type of fabric, a dark, rough fabric. The Bible says that the sun, now notice the six events of this sixth seal. There's a great earthquake in verse 12. In verse 12, the sun becomes black as sackcloth. In verse 12, the moon becomes as blood. Notice the word as, symbolism. It doesn't say that the moon became blood. It says the moon became as blood. Later on, folks, we're going to see some things become blood. We're going to see water and different things that are going to become blood. It's not going to say as anymore. They're actually going to become actual blood. Here the moon is as blood. In verse number 12, there's a great meteor shower on the earth. Excuse me, that's in verse 13. Verse 13, you need to change that. On number 4, a meteor shower, that's in verse 13. In verse number 14, heaven will open for a moment so that men will get a glimpse of the awesome scene of God on the throne. Would you look at that? And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The heaven departed as a scroll as it was rolled together. Now, read that first part and then read verse 16. Let's go back to 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Then verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb. Folks, you understand what's happened here? Heaven has opened itself up in this judgment. Men on earth have looked heavenward and they have actually seen God sitting on the throne in heaven. They realize that all that's going on now is caused by the wrath of an almighty God. There is not, are you listening? There is not one atheist or secular humanist left on all the face of the earth at this point in time. There's not anybody now that's saying they don't believe that there's a God. Everybody knows that there's a God. They're still not, for the most part, not going to worship Him. They're not going to accept Him. They're not going to turn to Him in repentance and faith, but they know that there's a God. In this judgment, there's a great earthquake. The sun becomes black as sackcloth. The moon becomes as blood. There's a meteor shower on the earth. Heaven opens and men see God in heaven. And every mountain and island will be moved to some extent. Look at verse number 14. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. There's no as. There's no as it were. Every island, every mountain is moved over all the earth. Every land mass is moved and changed and shaken in this great earthquake that has taken place. Verse number 16 is one of the saddest portions in all the book of Revelation. It says, "And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Folks, isn't it ironic? In a short period of time, in less than a year, I believe, in less than a year, 1/4 of the world's population has been killed. There's death and destruction on every hand and in every nation, except right now in the nation of Israel. There's death and destruction everywhere. Supernatural plagues are coming upon the earth. Man has actually looked into heaven and saw the awesome scene of God on the throne of judgment. And yet in verse 16, instead of turning to Him in repentance and faith, in verse 16, the Bible says that they crawl into the crevices and holes and caves of the earth, desiring to be hid from the face of God and from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, if they would only turn in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, but they don't. They believe in God. Now, folks, there's not anybody that's standing up and saying, "Oh, I don't believe there's a God now." There's not anybody. They all know that He's there. But their belief in God is just like the belief of the demons in the book of James, where the Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. All the demons know there's a God. All the demons know there's a God, but they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the way lost man will be at that time. Terrorism struck in the hearts of man. They say in verse 17, "The great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" You know what the sad thing about that is, folks? They're just totally wrong. The great day of His wrath hasn't even started. The great day of His wrath hasn't even started. We're still in the beginning of the tribulation period. We're still in, I believe, the first year of the tribulation period. You're saying, "Brother Kirkpatrick, you're saying then that you believe that the sixth seal is still in the first year of the tribulation period." That is correct. That is exactly what I believe. Now, let me throw something out here, folks. I do not want to seem unnecessarily combative on this thing of the time periods. We're talking about a 7-year period, and we're talking about when something happens during that 7-year period. That's not the most important thing in the world. Can I just acknowledge that? There's disagreement among Bible commentators as to when exactly things are happening. I have a chronological scheme that I follow that I, based on my study, is how I believe things are happening. That's what I'm going to present to you. I understand that there's a lot of difference of opinion on this. So you can take what I say, you can examine it in light of the Word of God, you can study it for yourself and ask God to show you and help you to understand how things are unfolding. It is my intent, though, to try to give everyone an overall view. I want you to know every event that's going to take place and how they fit one to another in the book of Revelation. And that's what my goal is in this study. One popular view of the tribulation judgment, this is in your notes, one popular view of the tribulation judgments that I do not hold is that the first six seal judgments survey the entire 7-year period. Now, there's a popular view as far as the judgments, and one of those views is that the first six seals survey the entire 7 years. Then the trumpets and the vials come back and overlap and go back to the beginning again. And the trumpets and the vials give you more details about those 7 years. I do not hold that view for a lot of reasons. One of the primary reasons is this, though, and I have it in your notes here. If that were the case, it would mean the period of the sixth seal would be the same or close to the same time period as the last judgments, which is the vial judgments. Folks, I don't see, based on the Word of God, how that can be the case because of the difference of the attitude in men during these judgments. In the sixth seal, when the sixth seal judgment comes, when the sixth seal judgment takes place, the Bible says that men are fearful and they try out. They run and they hide in the holes and in the rocks and the crevices and the caves and they cry out to be hid from the face of God and the wrath of the Lamb. When you get at the vials, all the judgments result in men simply blaspheming the name of God. Folks, there's a total difference in attitude that's presented. I do not see how they can be one and the same as far as the time period. They seem to be mutually exclusive in my way of thinking. Now, that's one reason why I don't hold that view. Remember, again, I believe that the seals take place. When the seventh seal is open, the trumpets come forth and the trumpets take place. And when the seventh trumpet comes, the vials are introduced and the vials take place. And I believe that they continue the movement of time chronologically from the beginning of the tribulation period to the end of the tribulation period. Now, what do you have in the sixth seal? What about this matter of the sun being blackened and the moon being as blood? Folks, I believe that's a picture of the volcanic activity. There's a great earthquake, there's a great volcano, there's all kinds of volcanic activity associated with the earthquake that goes on. I believe the ash and the dust and all that's spewed in the atmosphere has darkened the earth. I believe that the way the sun, the light is reflected and all, I believe that it has darkened the daylight, obviously, from the smoke. Can I share with you a little thing? I was down in, you remember the few months ago when the fires were burning in South Georgia and North Florida. We started back from Florida. We'd been down on a fishing trip. We started back from Florida. We came through, it was on Saturday morning, we came through Live Oak, Florida. As you come just north of Live Oak, come out of town, there's a strip of road there that's only about 12, 15 miles before you get to the interstate. And there's trees, there's woods on both sides of the road. You know, you cross the Suwannee River in that stretch and all, there's trees on both sides of the road. On that Saturday morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, the smoke from those fires was so bad, it was a bright, sunshiny day, supposed to be. The smoke from the fires was so bad that only every now and then could we get a glimpse of the trees on the side of the road. I told Tricia, I was thinking about the book of Revelation, and I told her, I said, you know, this kind of reminds me of how the earth's going to be during the tribulation period when the sun is darkened by the smoke. Remember the fifth seal. The Bible says that when the pit is opened and the demonic creatures come forth, the Bible says that the sun is going to be blackened or darkened by the smoke that's going to rise up out of the abyss. And I told Tricia, I said, it reminds me of how the earth is going to be during the tribulation period. What a dark and a frightful place. This thought of the sun becoming black and the moon becoming as blood and the stars of heaven fail and multitudes are killed. The first six seals. Early in the tribulation period. A lot more that I want to say about it. My mind is racing right now, so many things that I have on my heart and mind that I want to say, but our time is up this morning. Judgment has begun. Folks, a lot of untold horror is involved in the redemption process. Redemption's on the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control. He's bringing this thing to an end. Men are dying everywhere, men and women. Sin is abounding. And yet in the midst of all that, great multitudes are being saved. The two witnesses are witnessing. The 144,000 are being sealed and they're preaching and witnessing. great multitudes are being saved, and yet most of them are being killed as soon as they speak up or stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation period has started. Judgment has come to the earth. Just a little while, the King's going to be back though, and He's going to set up His millennial kingdom.